Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Again, I'm Pastor Blen Ramos from Philippines, Manila. And it is my honor and great privilege to stand here. It was 4 years ago since I was here in America. And I can sense the changes that is happening, not only to the sanctuary that we have right now, but in the spirit realm. While we are worshiping the Lord, the Lord just reminded me, it's outside already of my message, but just allow the Holy Spirit to speak right now. God reminded me about the verse from Romans chapter 4, verse 18, and it says, "Who against hope believed in hope, that he became the father of many nations." I want to highlight the word, "Who against hope believe in hope." And I want to encourage you right now, New Life Church, God is raising you to the next level of hope in your ministry, in your family, in your business. Who against hope? Even it is impossible to believe in hope, you still believe in hope because it is God's word who said it to you. Maybe the doctor said he will die or she will die, but you still believe in hope. Maybe the people surrounding you says, "Oh, the economy is bad right now. It's not good to start a business," but you still believe in hope. Who against hope believe in hope? Can you tell to your neighbor, believe in hope? Even sometimes it's impossible to believe in hope, still believe in hope. Amen. Again, thank you, Pastor Caleb and Pastor Rachel, for this opportunity that God has given me to stand here in your very beautiful sanctuary. And can we all stand up and let's read a verse from the Bible, and it will be my foundational verse for this message. In Matthew chapter 28, verse 19 to 20. Matthew 28, verse 19 to 20. "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." Let us all pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you and we humble ourselves, O God. And we believe apart from you, we can do nothing. We always need you, Lord. It's not by might nor by power, but by your spirit alone. Lord, move upon this place, O God. As we hear, as we listen to your word, increase our faith, change our heart, O God, that we can understand and we can do your will. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Can we give clap offering for the Lord? Amen. Praise God. You may be seated. In this Mission Sunday, I would like to start my message by saying thank you. My presentation is ready. Thank you to the American missionaries. I would like to say this as a Filipino. Thank you to the American missionaries, because for 400 years, Filipinos or Philippines are under the government of the Spain. For 400 years, we received the half of the gospel. We only have the half of the gospel. And Philippines become the only Christian nations in Asia, but as Catholic nation. But until 1890s, when the Americans came to our nation and shared the whole gospel. Amen. So thank you for all the American missionaries who send their lives for us to receive the true gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. Can we give clap offering for those American missionaries? Amen. And because of that, Philippines got the whole revelation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I want to thank also this man of God. His name is Pastor Bacani. Pastor Bacani is an evangelist in the Philippines who go around our cities. And one time he went to our village where he preached in front of our house. That time, my father is hiding in the law because he was a big-time pusher of Metro Manila. He was wanted because he was a mafia in our nation. He's a big-time mafia in the Philippines. And this man of God preaching in front of my father's house. And he's saying, and he's preaching about God is a God of love. He quote John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believe in him shall not perish but have everlasting life." He said that God is a God of many chance. That time my father thought that he had no chance. He is wanted. No? Policeman is looking for him. He has no chance. But he heard that message, and that day he received the Lord, and that man became his pastor for 1 year. And after that, my father went out and started the church. And I want to thank my father. This is my father, the next picture, Bishop Benjamin Ramos, who started Jesus the Gospel Church in 5 people only in a small garage. And it grew up. Actually, this coming February, we're going to celebrate our 29th year anniversary. And through this man of God, because of a one person who preached, this man of God, Bishop Benjamin Ramos, considered the father of many pastors in the Philippines. He started almost 100 churches in the Philippines. And we also have churches in Hong Kong, Cambodia, Dubai, Sharjah, and in other parts of the world because of this one man. Thank you for that man of God that my father heard the message. Let's go back in Matthew chapter 28, verse 19 to 20. "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." We have heard these verses many times. But what part of the word "go" we don't understand? Like in Japan, the word "go" means ikamasu. In Tagalog, "go" means humayo. Korean, gagi. Spanish, I don't know if there's a Spanish people here and I'm going to say it right. Ear. In Greek, pow. In Russia, I know your pastor speak Russian. Iti. I don't know if I'm telling it right. But the thing is, it's the same word means go. Can you tell to your neighbor, go? How many conferences, Bible studies, or how many Sunday mission do we need to attend before we can understand that the word "go" simply means go? Whether you are those who hold the rope or you are the one who go down the well. But it simply means go. For example, if you are a parent and you said, "Oh, my child, I would just go live for 2 hours, I need to buy something, but this is I want you to do. Fix your bed, because I saw your bedroom. It's so messy. When I go back, I need to see that your bed is already fixed." You went out, and your child or your son, what he did is he called his friend and he asked for a study or deep understanding about what is the meaning of what picks the bed. He even looked for a dictionary. What is the Greek word of picks the bed? What is the other translation? Maybe my father is not really talking about picks the bed. He might tell something different. Let's study about that. And when you go back as a parent and you saw your son and he go to you and said, "Father, I know now what is the Greek word of picks my bed. We have a small group and we talk about picks the bed." We even a Holy Ghost meeting about fix the bed. I even slain the spirit, Father. But what you will ask as a parents, did you fix the bed? If you found out that he just studied about it but didn't do anything, what will you do? Poing! I told you not to study it, but to do it. Amen. There are three kinds of Christians in the world. Those who holding the rope, those going down the well, and the ones who said, it's not my business. What is the purpose of the church anyway? People may say, the purpose of the church is fellowship. To make friends, to meet good people, holy people, godly people, people who will strengthen you in your life, a place where to provide a place of love, where we get together and strengthen one another. People may say, the purpose of the church is for fellowship. Or the other one may say, the purpose of the church is teaching. To teach the believers about doctrine. To give a practical teaching about Christian living. To instruct the youth, the elders, on how to be obedient to Jesus in a biblical and theological way. To teach the law of God in the objective of becoming mature in Christ. The reason and the purpose of the church is to teach. Or maybe some people may say, the purpose of the church is to praise. To praise the Lord. Anyway, in heaven, that's what we're going to do. Praise and worship the Lord. Maybe that is the purpose of the church. The community of people praising God. Let me tell you something. Although fellowship is good, we need that. Although teaching is good, we need that. Although praising God is good and we really need that. But that is not the purpose of the church. For example, a basketball. You all know Stephen Curry. Basketball, you count and you can make a score not because you are good in dribble. Or you can have points because you have a very good uniform. Your shoes is shining. You don't make points of that. You make points if the ball can go inside the ring. In church, this is how we make point in heaven. By reaching people. By reaching others for God. Amen. Can you tell to your neighbor, reach others for Jesus? So what is the purpose and the mission of the church? To answer that, what is the motive of the church? And we have to understand that we are what we are. And we are to be what we are to be is for the glory of God. That's it. Whether we eat, whether we drink, we have to do it for the glory of God. That is the primary and greatest unified motive of the church, is to glorify God. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 6, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He had made us accepted in the Beloved. Ephesians 1:12, in order that we, who were the first to put our hope in Christ, might be for the praise of His glory. Even Ephesians chapter 3, the church is for the glory of God. The primary motive of the church is to glorify God. Can you tell to your neighbor, glorify God? Actually, that is the reason Jesus came for the purpose. And He gave an example in John chapter 1 verse 14. The Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus is the manifested glory of God. He is the exact image of God. Hebrews chapter 1 verse 3. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of being, sustaining all things by His powerful word. Jesus came for the purpose, and that is to glorify the Father. And that motive is to pass to the church. We are to give God glory. That is our reason for being. Again, whether we eat, whether we drink, even the smallest thing that we do, or the simplest thing we do, we have to do it for the glory of God. So to the answer, what is the mission of the church? We have to go back to the redemptive history. What happened when Adam sinned to God because he disobeyed God? He ate the fruit that he's not supposed to eat that. Because of that, the race of the humanity died. But he didn't look for God. He didn't say, "Where are you, God?" No, but in Genesis chapter 3, verse 9, God looked for Adam. "Where are you?" In Greek word, ayeka. Where are you? It means God is giving Adam a chance to confess his sin, to go back to God. That is God's mission, to redeem the humankind, to redeem people for his glory. It glorifies God when sinners saves. It glorifies God when a sinner were brought back to him in fellowship and to be transformed and be a member of his family. 2 Corinthians 5:19, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ. God gave his only son, Jesus, for the purpose, and nothing glorifies God but a sinner back to him. This is the purpose of God. This is the heart of God. This is the heartbeat of God, to glorify him through people who will go back to him. And that is our mission, to bring back all the glory to him through joining in the mission of God. So this is the mission. Mission means joining God in his passion to redeem and reach the lost by giving himself to the world for the glory of his name. This is the mission. Joining God in his passion. And his passion is to redeem and reach the lost. He even gave himself for that purpose. He died for that purpose. And we have to join in this mission. Church, he is already doing these things. In the Philippines alone, do you know every week there are hundreds of people are being saved weekly. In China, China is in the course of being the largest Christian nation in the world. By 2030, they said if the revival will continue, churchgoer there will become many and many than the Americans. God is already doing what he wants to do. Now the question is, are you going to participate? Can you ask your neighbor, are we going to participate? We are invited for this great move of God. It is our privilege to be God's instrument for this mission. Mission is loving God and loving people. As we understand who is God in our lives, what he has done, how God redeemed us, how God transformed us, if we know the attributes of God and who he is, and if we have the intimate relationship with God, mission will just fall in. Mission just will just follow in our lives. I remember my father, when he got saved, I was 9 years old at the time. So basically, I grew up in a family where my father is already Christians and become a pastor after a year. So I grew up in a family where we pray always before we eat. We have Christian music in our house. And if I've done something wrong, my father will quote a verse for me. So I thought all the time that I am a Christian. But Christianity, you don't inherit Christianity. Even though your parents is Christians, it's not automatic that you're a Christian. So one time, I know one of the mission of my father is not just for the church and not just for the pastors, but his mission is for his family. the time when I was in my college time, I took 3 courses, actually. I took MedTech, Medical Technology. I took up Mass Communication. I took up Engineering. But I didn't finish it all. I'm just lost. I don't know what to do in my life. So, one time, we have a fight. My father and I have a fight because he was very frustrated in my life. Now, he's trying for me to finish study. He's sending money for me, but I didn't finish my study. So he was very frustrated, and he told me, "Blen, la 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 la, I didn't understand all, but he's very mad. And I get mad also. I said, "Oh, you always look at me. You don't have time with me." I told him, "I will leave this place." I packed my bag, I put my clothes in small bag. I said, "I will leave this place." I stole away. That was six at night. I don't have money. I was just youth that time, and I got hungry. It's almost 12 or 1 o'clock. I tried to call my friends. I told to my friends, "Can I stay for you for just a night?" But no one wants me to invite me. So at 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock, I was very hungry. My stomach is talking to me already. I didn't know where to go. Then I got an idea. I said, "I will just go back, sneak into my father's house, because in the back of my father's house, there is a dirty kitchen that I can grab a food, just eat, and leave the house." So it's like a Mission Impossible. I went down, then. I grabbed some rice because Filipinos love to eat rice. While I was eating, my bag is there. My father came out. Slammed the door. In that very moment, I feel very embarrassed. Because I said, "I will leave this place." I packed my bag. And now, here I am eating his food in his back kitchen. I was very embarrassed. And he said to me, "Blen, what are you doing in your life? You took 3 courses. You didn't finish them all. What do you want?" I told him, "Pastor, Dad, I really don't know where to start. I don't know where to start." And he told me, that gave me the revelation. It's like a bulb opening in my mind. Start knowing God. Start knowing God. And that word gave me a revelation that I really don't know God. And that time on, he said to me, "I will disciple you, Blen." And it became his mission for me. "You will always go to me. You will always come to me wherever I go. If I'm going to preach, watch me how to preach. Watch me where I will go, what I will do." It becomes a mission to him. Now, because of that, I also remember when I was a child, he always went to my room, pray for me while I was sleeping. And I know he's praying for me because his hand is in my face. Declaring, "Lord, change my son. Change my son." And because of that encounter, and because of my father's heart, that his mission is not for the pastors only, not for the church, but for his family. You know what? 5 of us right now, I have 5 siblings. We are all pastors. Glory to God. Amen. Glory to God. Sometimes we're asking, "Where can I start for mission? I know it's my duty, but I don't know where to start." You can start where at you right now. You can start in your family. That is your mission field. You can start in your neighborhood, your workplace. Don't just invite them to church, but bring church to them. And you are the church. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 16. Did you know that you are the temple of the living God? Bring them to church. You have a mission. The word, therefore, "Go and make disciples," it is a command for every one of us. Right now, I'm a pastor. I was ordained when I was 21 years old. Now I am almost 39 years old. I started my ministry in Manila 11 years ago, actually. But to make the story short, my church there is already 7 years old because some problem happened. I know Pastor Caleb already knows those story. And within that 7 years, no, my mission becomes how to bring church to the community. That's my mission now. Because I understand it's not just about me. He already saved me. That is God's grace to me. Now my mission is how can I bring the church to the community? And we bring church to the community by feeding the kids. I have some pictures there. Every week we have almost 500 to 600 kids we feed in Manila. Manila is very poor location, very poor area. We feed 600 kids every week. We even send 10 kids this year for a scholarship program. We send them for school. Because of my father, because of one man, Pastor Ed Bacani, and because of, I don't know who's pastor him, and it will go to a missionary from America. Now, generations are changed. We can change the city for Jesus. We can reach more. So I'm here challenging you, American missionaries. Do you know that you are one of the greatest missionaries of the world? Until now, go therefore and make disciples of all nations. Can you tell again to your neighbor, go therefore. Amen. The conviction of mission is about people must be told about Jesus. Because there is no salvation besides Jesus. There is no man given under heaven that man can be saved except the name of Jesus. Acts chapter 4 verse 12. John 3:36. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Whoever does not obey the Son shall not see light, but the wrath of God remains on him. John 15 verse 16. You did not choose me, but I choose you. It's not your choice that you are here. It's not accident you're hearing this message right now. God is steering you up right now. Where you at is your mission field. Where you at right now is your mission field. It might be your husband. It might be your family, like my father. Now all of my siblings are pastors. It might be your workplace. It might be your community right now. That is my mission. To bring church to the community. It might be for kids that don't have hope. Mission is bringing hope to the hopeless. Mission is bringing hope to the hopeless. And God is raising the hope in this church to the another level of hope. I sense in my spirit that like in Romans chapter 4 verse 18, who against hope believe in hope. Maybe you think, oh, it's impossible my husband to be changed. No, believe in hope. Maybe you're thinking it's impossible my child, my daughter, my children will get saved. No, believe in hope, even if it's against hope. Because that is his promise. Even one in the family got saved, all of your family will be saved. I challenge you, America. One mission that I want to impart to you also is America, you're losing the next generation. I am part of because a father reached a son. Fathers who are here, you have mission to the next generation. Malachi chapter 4. The heart of the father will turn to the children and the heart of the children to the father, or else I will bring curse. Fathers, you are in need for the next generation. Reach them. You're losing the next generation. Churches are dying because they don't have the next generation. Churches are closing because they don't have the young people. But this church Hallelujah. You're reaching for the next generation. But you have part of that. You have to do what is God has commanded you. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them how to obey. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Hallelujah. Let us all stand. Amen. My heart is crying for the next generation. When I was in the plane going here, I told I asked the Lord, Lord, it's been 4 years that I've never been in America. But you told me to go here right now. What is the purpose? And God just stirred my heart about for the next generation. For the next generation. Again, I am a product of a father. Mission me. And I am the next generation. I am the generation right now. And because of that, I am impacting the next generation, the kids in my city. Now, I'm challenging you right now. I'm challenging you right now. Accept the challenge. We are here right now in a Mission Sunday. We have to accept the challenge. Amen. So who among you will accept this challenge? Amen. Your mission is where you are right now. Accept the challenge. Mission your child. Mission your husband. Mission your workplace. That is your mission field. Support who goes to mission. Support them. It's not easy. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we humble ourselves to you right now, Lord. Your word is powerful. It can change our life. It can break even the hardest heart. Nothing is impossible to you. Sometimes, Lord, we become complacent of things what is happening to us. We're just happy going to church and we forgot the greatest commission, the greatest commandment to love you. And because we love you, we can go and obey the Great Commission. Father, in the name of Jesus, stir up the spirit of each and every one of us right now. Give us the heart to reach more people for you. For that is your purpose, Lord. That is your desire. And that is where we can bring glory to you. In the name of Jesus Christ, Lord, forgive us. If sometimes we become lazy, sometimes we don't mind these things, and we forgot that one day we will face to you. We will see you face to face, and you will judge us. Father, right now, thank you for what you have done. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your power. In Jesus' name.